Hey, you guys. Oh, he's always got the damn volume.
I had the volume on.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Thank you, No Need For Me Too, for the super chat. Can't stay eating crepes from IHOP. That sounds good, actually.
Yeah.
Have fun, guys.
Yeah. Today we're going to do a review on a movie that Sophie sent us.
Yeah, I had actually never heard of this one, but actually I'm glad she sent it because, yeah. Oh, one thing I have to mention, I got a message like literally 2 minutes ago, like before we went live, from Esther, one of our patrons, and said, oh, one of these days early, you should do, you know, sometime you should talk about Anne Rice because she just died.
Oh, I didn't know that. She died?
Yeah.
Okay. How old was she?
80.
80? I didn't realize she was that old.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there going, no way. But then I looked it up and I was like, oh, she was 8. I'm not saying, yeah. Oh, you know, but I'm just saying.
Older than my mom.
I thought she was younger than that. But yeah, so yeah, Anne Rice passed away. So we will probably be talking about that at some point too. But yeah, Sophie sent us this movie for Christmas. When I first looked at it, I guess I wasn't really like aware that it was a Christmas movie, but then like when I started reading the little tagline and stuff, I was like, oh, it's a Christmas movie. Yeah. That sounds kind of funny.
It's called Fat Man.
Yeah.
It's a Mel Gibson movie, and this has got to be Mel Gibson's response to fucking
Christmas Chronicles. Where we're doing kind of like a gritty reboot of Santa.
He takes Krussel's interpretation of Santa, which I think is a masterpiece, especially that first movie, and then he fucking makes it even harder. This Santa's in gunfights and shit. Right? Gunfights, he's fighting assassins, he's doing all kinds of shit. And it is a comedy, but it's not that funny. I mean, it is a Christmas movie that it's got a serious edge to it. But it stays within the boundaries of Christmas lore. It's a trip.
Yeah, and honestly, I kind of like that. I feel like it got kind of like mixed reviews.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of like the audience seemed to like it, and the critics were kind of divided. It seemed like most of the critics were kind of like, "Oh, well, I love the concept. I wish they had gone crazier with it." But honestly, to me, it's funnier that they played it like almost entirely straight.
Yeah,
like
rooted in reality.
To me, that's like funnier.
Yeah, it's more grounded in reality.
It's a black comedy for sure. Right. An action movie. It's very, very violent.
Yeah, real violent. Little kids being naughty. He hires an assassin to go after this little girl because she did cheat. She was cheating on her fucking test.
No, she won the science fair.
But she cheated, though.
No, she didn't cheat.
Okay, I thought he...
No, he...
Convinced her that she cheated or something.
No, he made it. He's like, no, you have to... He tortured her, and then he's like, you have to tell them that you cheated I can get first place. Okay. She didn't really cheat.
Okay, I thought she did cheat.
No.
Okay. So he was even more naughty.
Yeah.
All right. And the kind of hitman... The hitman that's really like one of the main characters in the movie. He's the same dude that played the damn serial killer out of Predators, where they were on the Predator.
He was in House of a Thousand Corpses too. He's been in a shit ton of stuff.
I didn't know that. But he's great in it. He's real good in this movie.
He's my favorite thing.
Yeah,
the assassin
and
with the hamster.
He's got a grudge against Santa too. You know, it's weird shit. We're saying it like this, but it's like it's serious. He's got a grudge against Santa. Because all he got was a little damn cop car one time. He didn't get too many presents.
Well, he wanted something that Santa couldn't give him. That's why he was...
Like, so,
that's what the implication was.
Yeah, and then what he would do is he'd run around and take other people's presents. He was kind of like a Grinch. But he would buy them from people. He would, whatever they valued most, he'd try to get it out of you. See, he had a whole damn... Like a serial killer type collection of other people's toys. Other people's gifts that Santa gave them. It's a trip, man.
Well, he ran a pawn shop, what it was. He ran a pawn shop, and people would have to come and, like, pawn their stuff that Santa gave to them.
Is that what it was?
Okay, yeah.
Because I didn't really interpret it that way, because in the back, he had it all had all that shit on display.
Well, yeah, he kept the good pieces like there was a museum, but he ran it like a pawn shop is what he did. He didn't steal them from people, necessarily.
He bought them from people.
But he bought them like he lowballed them, yeah.
Yeah, but he wanted to own other people's dreams.
Yeah.
Because he didn't get them. I guess he didn't get it. But he'd just see a little kid in a car with an airplane and start asking him about the airplane. And if Santa gave it to him, he'd start offering money for it. And he'd put this... there's a lot of good fucking ideas in it. And then, you know, it ends up in a big old gunfight eventually. Fucking... And it doesn't quite go the way you think it's going to go. It's weird the way it is. But it all kind of fits within the supernatural framework of fucking Santa.
But I do kind of like I said, to me it seemed funnier that they kept it. This is pretty much straight ahead, like an action black comedy film that's like very, very grounded in reality. It's super violent, almost kind of like, I want to say it was almost like a like an older Coen Brothers movie or something like that. But then with Santa Claus in it, but everybody takes it seriously. And to me, that makes it funnier.
Right.
I don't, you know, your mileage may vary. Because like I said, some of the critics were like, man, what a good concept. They wish they had gone nuttier with it.
Yeah.
But I kind of think it was funnier not being nutty. You know what I mean?
I want to see it again. It seems like one of those kind of movies that stands up to repeat viewings. A lot of stuff happened in it. I didn't quite catch all of it. But it was, you know, because like, I don't know, just the way it is. Sometimes little details will elude me while I'm watching it. But it was good. I liked it.
Grandfather's Hammer said, Mel G is looking rough these days. Crazy eyes and wild hair. Time's up and kind. Well, yeah, as soon as he came on the screen, Tom said, woo, Mel Gibson's spooky looking.
Yeah.
It works, though.
Yeah, because he's not a sane Santa Claus in a way. He's kind of a dark Santa Claus. It's like, damn, look at that dude. He kind of looked like, he's starting to look like fucking Captain Spaulding and shit. Fucking House of a Thousand Corpses.
He is starting to look a bit like that.
Crazy as Sid Haig eyes and shit.
Yeah, and he's got like that big white hair, the big white beard. But like I said, for this role, it actually works.
Yeah.
Because what it is, this came out in 2020, by the way.
Yeah, it's not old, it's new.
Yeah, it's just came out last Christmas. And so he plays Santa Claus as basically kind of like a working class Santa Claus. Him and Mrs. Claus, who's played by Marion Jean-Baptiste. And I was like, God damn it, where have I seen her? I know her from Secrets and Lies. She's been in like a fuck ton of other stuff,
too. Was in James Bond.
No.
She wasn't? Okay.
No.
Who it is. This British black chick. You'll recognize
her. Yeah, she's in a shit ton of stuff. But I recognized her. I saw her a long time ago in Secrets and Lies. That's where I remembered her from.
Yeah, Mrs. Claus is black.
But she, so they basically live up in this, you know, in the North Pole, and they run essentially like a factory with elves.
Yeah.
The elves are just little people. They're not,
not that little, though.
Well, no, I mean, it's not like, I wasn't going to say, like in Christmas Chronicles where they were like little, like creatures, like little bitty creatures that were, CGI. These are just like regular little people.
They have pointed ears, though, from what I remember.
Yeah, they had pointed ears, and they lived on a diet of just pie and cookies and stuff.
Yeah.
They're all like carbs and sugar. That's how they live, and they live like much longer than humans.
Christmas spirit was being lost when it started off. He wasn't making toys. He had them in there making damn jet fighter parts and shit.
Well, the only reason that happened was because the premise of the movie is that Santa and Mrs. Claus, their factory. Because their elf workers are, they imply that they're kind of like supernatural. They say they live a lot longer than humans and they, you know, they're, and stuff like that. So, but the problem being that because the government subsidizes Santa Claus to deliver toys to good children, because that spurs the economy around Christmas time, so they give him a subsidy. But they only subsidize him for the amount of presents that he delivers. And he's lamenting because it's like, oh, there's more naughty kids than ever, and I have to give them coal, and I can't give them presents anymore. So the subsidy, like this particular year, is only half of what it usually is. And they're basically saying, hey, you know, we have all this, that doesn't even cover our costs. We have all these elves we got to pay. And so at least they are paying the elves. That's nice. But yeah, so they have all that. So the government basically comes to them and says, yeah, you know, we know what your problem is, but we want you to take this military contract, and you need to make control panels for all these fighter jets. So they're basically like giving Santa a military contract to make up the shortfall.
Yeah, he's contract.
And Santa doesn't really want to do it.
No.
But he doesn't really have a lot of choice because he doesn't have enough money, and he doesn't want to let all his elf workforce go.
Yeah, and they can build that shit fast, too.
Yeah, and they're really, really quick, and they're very efficient. So they go into, because the elves are, like, badass, and they all, they don't have, because, you know, in Christmas Chronicles, I thought it was, like, super funny that they all had names, like,
Schmear and Schmarr.
Yeah, or no, I was thinking of a Christmas Horror Story, of a Christmas Horror Story, and that one, like, all the elves had names, like, Jingles and Shiny and stuff like that. In this one, they just have numbers, like, the foreman is named Seven. And he's the one that runs it all. And so the military takes over, and they have to have all of this, like, security brought in because they're making stuff for jet fighters. The funniest thing to me was, the funniest thing to me in this is, like, little things. It was just kind of like, You know, the elves, like I said, they just kind of looked like regular little people, but with pointy ears. But they still had the elf shoes, like with the pointy toe and the bell on the thing. And they showed them, like, cutting all the bells off the toes so they wouldn't set off the metal detectors, like, when the military came in, like, yeah. with all the security and stuff. And it's just like that. I don't know. That was very funny to me.
Gramps was talking about stars that were once hot and then now no more, you know, like Val Kilmer and fucking Russell Crowe. Crowe, actually, you know, he aged okay. He gained some weight, but other than that, he looked all right. Now, you got to remember that like, Mel Gibson was 40 when I was a little kid. Okay, that dude's old. But now, Val Kilmer fell apart when he was famous.
Like, he did, yeah.
He fell apart at an early age.
Wasn't there a documentary that came out about him like very recently, I want to say? I thought I saw that somewhere, or somebody talking about it.
Last thing he did where he looked presentable, I think, was down, what was it? Ronin? No, it wasn't Ronin. What was the one? The one where they robbed a bank. About the bank. The gang of bank robbers. It had an all-star cast.
I can't really remember.
You know what I'm talking about? We reviewed it.
I probably did, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's like only called. Like the fucking best bank robbery movie of all time. So we watched it. It was pretty good. It kind of is a little bit dated by today's standards, but it was still good. Anyway, that was the last thing he did. But no, man, fucking Val Kilmer fucking drank himself fucking silly, ate anything he wanted, and probably did a bunch of drugs. He fell apart quick.
Yeah, well, that'll happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of like the setup of it. Now, so there's that. So Santa and Mrs. Claus and the elves in his factory are having all these kind of financial problems. They've kind of been forced into this military contract that they didn't really want to do. Santa has kind of lost his mojo in a little way because he's just kind of like, oh man, all these kids are so naughty. I don't know what the hell's going on with this. It's like, he's kind of like having an old man yells at cloud moment where he's just kind of like, these kids today, blah, blah, blah. It's that kind of thing. So he's getting really disillusioned and he doesn't really want to do it anymore. And then to top it all off, there's this one horrible little child who, it's this, the kid that plays, I can't remember the kid's name. But he was in Good Boys, right? You looked it up. And he plays this little snot-nosed rich kid who... he looks like he's got, like, a little suit on. And he's just, like, a total adult. He's just, like, this little taint of a kid. And,
he's like a fucking wannabe politician as a child.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he's very, very adult. And he...
that Greg Stillman character from fucking,
From Dead Zone?
Dead Zone, yeah.
He's kind of like that. He's real smarmy.
Yeah.
And, so I guess, like, his family are really, really wealthy, but I guess his mom's dead or something like that, and his dad is always off gallivanting around, like, with a series of girlfriends. So he lives with his sort of invalid grandmother, and he's taken to forging his grandmother's signatures on checks, so he's basically just, like, running the fucking household. And he, you know, he loses the science fair, and then he hires this hitman that he keeps on retainer to torture the little girl, essentially, into getting her to say that she cheated so he could win, because he had to win. And then he
real violent torture. Kids
no,
can
no, no.
watch this, actually.
I don't, well...
Yeah, anybody
well, older
kid, 8 or 9.
Yeah, older kids. Yeah, I wouldn't show it to a little kid. Because
no.
it's, like, pretty... It's pretty violent. There's a lot of, like, gunfights and stuff. And a lot of people die. So there's that. So there's some kind of torture going on. And then the kid decides it's Christmas comes. And because he's a little shit, he gets like a whole bunch of beautifully wrapped boxes full of coal. So he decides that he's going to have the hitman go up and take out Santa Claus and bring him his head. So as I said, now when I'm describing it, it sounds like it's going to be this wacky farce. But it's not like that. It's kind of... played straight, like kind of played serious, and to me that makes it like 100 times funnier.
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie, definitely.
Oh yeah,
definitely.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a Christmas movie.
Yeah, it's a more of a Christmas movie than Die Hard. We're going to see that this Christmas. There's a lot of Christmas shit we're going to see.
Yeah, and I definitely want to watch the first Christmas Chronicles again.
Yeah.
And it's yearly tradition for me to watch the MST episodes. The Christmas ones, which are Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, the Christmas That Almost Wasn't, and they have a bunch of other ones too, like Christmas shorts and stuff that are on, that Riff Trax did and stuff, so sometimes I watch those too. But, yeah, we'll probably watch the second Christmas Chronicles again too, even though I didn't really like that one as much. That was the one with Belsnickel, right?
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Yeah, the second one was okay.
It was okay.
It's just, you know, it was good. It just wasn't as classic as the very first one.
Yeah, I mean, the first one is so good. It was, like, really, really hard to follow.
You know, you can watch them. You can watch.
But, so, I really like, I'm into, like, Christmas horror movies and stuff like that, so I really like kind of all these different takes on Christmas, because there's so many, like, sappy Christmas movies, you know? They fucking put out new ones every, like, fucking Lifetime and all that kind of crap. And, you know, and they're always in Hallmark and all that. They make, like, a fuck ton every year. And they're always, like, these really treacly kind of shit. So anytime you're going to go this grounded into where you're making, like, a Coen Brothers movie, like a dark comedy, like, action movie that is also about Santa Claus, where he's just, like, this rundown old man that, like, can take bullets and shit, I'm down. I thought this was actually pretty fucking great. And it's interesting that I hadn't heard of it. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like, well, the guys that did it, they had done another movie before, but I can't remember what the name of it was. But apparently they've been shopping this, what do you call it? The screenplay around for like 10 years before they actually got it made.
I saw the trailer for it, and it looked good at the time. Just, I forgot about it.
Yeah, I didn't remember about it either. So yeah, I really appreciate, so I don't think Sophie's here, but.
No, she's always a day behind.
I do actually appreciate her sending it, because I probably would have forgotten about it and wouldn't have watched it, because I look up like Christmas horror movies, but I don't really think to look up other, you know, things. Yeah. So this isn't like, you know, how it's not like Bad Santa, which is like, you know, super raunchy, but it's also kind of like some down on his luck Santa. It's not really like that. It's kind of more like a crime thriller, but funny, but also kind of like grounded. It's not super zany or over the top or anything.
Yeah. Up there with Christmas Chronicles, the first one, just harder.
Yeah.
It's definitely a response to it.
And honestly, I think the relationship between Santa and Mrs. Claus in this is actually like kind of sweet. I thought that was actually really well done.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're just this team, and they've been, like, doing this for a long time, and, you know, she's making cookies for everybody, and, but she's, like, kind of tough as nails, too, and I really like the way they portrayed that.
They're country folk. They got a farm and shit, fucking a barn and fucking tractors and shit. He's out in the back with his 1911 fucking doing target practice and shit. It's like...
Yeah, it's like working class Santa and Mrs. Claus. They run a factory, and they're just, like, worried about their business and shit like that. So I think that was kind of cool. I think that was a good idea. Because I was watching it, and I was just kind of like, I think this is, like, this was a brilliant concept.
Yeah.
I have to say, too, I really like the whole subplot with the assassin, who didn't have a name in the movie. I think he's just credited as Skinny Man.
Yeah.
He had a hamster. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because you kind of think that he's going to do bad things to the hamster. Was it a hamster or a gerbil? I think it was a hamster.
It was a hamster.
And that one scene where he goes into the pet store.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
I'm not, but I'm just saying that, like, really made me laugh a lot. Like, that fucking scene. I don't know why. That just, like, really cracked me up. The fact that he had this hamster. Thank you, Mr. Roboto. How would you handle a horrible child? I don't know.
Well, how do you define as horrible?
Yeah, what are we talking about? Like, serial killer horrible?
Yeah, talking about that girl cutting out, strangling little boys and cutting their dicks off and shit. It's like, you take her out in the back of the woodshed and you put a bullet in her. Yeah.
You tell her to look at the flowers. No. Well, yeah, it's just...
I don't give a fuck.
I mean, that's the thing. It's... I mean,
you have a system right now, okay, a criminal justice system. You have to let them handle it, because if you do it on your own, fucking, they can fucking get you. But remember in The Walking Dead when they had that little girl who was fucking basically...
Well, that's what I just said. Make her look at the flowers.
Yeah.
That's going back away.
She was feeding other kids to the zombies and weird shit like that, and she thought the zombies were just regular people. Carol had to take her out and fucking put her down. Just... Some people just are malfunctioning at an early age, and yeah, they might get fixed later, but it's not on you to make that judgment. Just, you gotta regulate. But the system is regulating right now. So, but in other countries, they would just regulate.
Yeah, I mean, it would depend on how extreme you're talking.
Yeah.
Now, as I said, if I had a kid, you know, it's hard for me to say because I don't have a kid, and I know it's different when you have a kid of your own, and some people, you know, I know that.
In some civilizations, the fucking head of the household had fucking power of life and death over anyone underneath his command in the family. You know, there was room for a lot of them. you know, mistakes were made, but no, up until recently, and in some countries in the Middle East, it might still be like that. The father can put down anyone in the family. I think he has to clear it through the local religious leaders, but that's how they handle it.
But something that I've always, like, been curious about was, you know, nowadays, now that people know pretty much, for example, what the early signs of a serial killer are, and you see your kid doing that kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you don't want to take them out, but you should actually, like, you know, try to get them help or try to get them put away or something.
If it works,
like that.
Yeah.
If it works, that's, yeah. I mean,
there are some kids that you stumble into, some of these kids, and they're fucking torturing animals and shit in fucking very violent ways, and they don't stop. They just continue. You know what I mean? And then the kid runs away at an early age because they don't want to be listening to what, and you don't know what happens to them. Well, that's where some of those serial killers come from, that kind of shit. A lot of them don't live long enough, though, to become serial killers. They cross the wrong person, and people take them out. Although, you know, you never hear about that on the news. And a lot of that was happening during the leaded fuel era of the fucking 60s and the 70s. You don't hear about it anymore.
Yeah, not so much.
Yeah.
But
it's not as bad as it was.
Yeah, I mean, the kid in this movie, he's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping, well, I don't really want to say that because it'd probably spoil it. I was kind of hoping it would go one way, but I'm kind of glad it didn't. But
he's just psycho.
He was just like an entitled little shit.
Yeah, a little.
Because he was just like used to having whatever he wanted because he came from a wealthy family and he just got away with everything. So he just thought he could just go around and do whatever he wanted with impunity and no one could do anything to him.
Thought he was an adult too.
Yeah, and that was another funny thing too. Like that fucking kid.
Yeah.
That fucking kid. Yeah, Mr. Roboto just pointed out skinny man versus fat man. Yeah, that's why they called him that. Because, like I said, I'm pretty sure he didn't have a name.
He's kind of the Grinch. He's kind of like the Grinch.
Yeah.
He's not as flamboyant.
Yeah. Because, like I said, don't get into an idea that it's like this wacky, like, over-the-top comedy.
No, it's
not.
Grounded in reality.
It's not. But it's kind of like more a subtle, like, or dark humor. Which
there's supernatural stuff, too. You know, Santa's got powers. He knows where you've been, whether you've been naughty or nice. He knows what you're up to.
Yeah, much like Krussel's take on Santa. He knows everybody's name, and he knows everything that you did and everything like that. But they don't play it up like all this kind of magical-y kind
of. No, he's like a darker version of Krussel's Santa.
With a little bit of Krampus in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of a Krampus vibe.
Yeah.
But, it's actually...
Sid Haig.
Yeah. But, yeah, this was actually a surprisingly decent flick. So, I really like, thanks, Sophie, for sending it to us.
This one should be in the Christmas rotation right along with Die Hard and Christmas Chronicles.
Yeah, I mean, I had a really good time with this one because I like kind of those harder-edged, like, kind of Christmas movies. I don't like the treacly one so much.
Yeah.
So this will definitely be going into the rotation. All right, so do we have anything else we need to talk about? I don't know if I have allergies or if I have some kind of fucking...
You got a cold coming, probably?
Or my eyeballs have just been, like, streaming water all day, and I feel like this is all... I have all this pressure right here. I took some allergy pills, but it didn't really do much of anything. So I don't know what it is. Hopefully I don't have a cold. But so we will see you guys again tomorrow when I don't know what movie we're going to talk about. We'll watch something later and talk about it then. So thanks for dropping by. Thanks for super chats. And we will see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.